Shalom, Mishpachah, and happy 2025 as we welcome you back to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my lovely lady and persistent study of God's Word, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, ta-da, my dear, and what a wonderful beginning to 2025. Finally, some common sense is returning to the United States. And we had an enjoyable and much-needed time with our family over the holidays, and as well, we celebrated your 70th big birthday. Mm-hmm. And now we're anxious to dissect God's Word because what's happening prophetically fits in quite nicely with God's Word.
You know, it's a great time for Christians to be alive for such a time as this.
Amen.
And everything is moving speedily.
Yes, as Revelation 1 verse 1 says it would, because the Greek word for shortly is en or en, which besides meaning shortly taking place, as in 2 days or for us 2,000 years, it can also mean speedily. Once it begins, according to the famous Greek scholar Ken Wiest.
And we're still in foreshadows.
Ah, yes. But nearing the end of it and moving quickly, which is why God has chosen our returning President Trump.
He gets the job done.
Right. And we can't say it enough.
For such a time as this.
Yep. The furniture is already on the end time stage now. And we're watching the decorations being put up.
You know, kind of like flowers blooming on a spring day.
Therefore, let me emphasize once again, we all need to be persistent studiers of His Word.
Especially now.
Amen.
And we want to help you do just that.
Well, that is our calling.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, my eye surgery went well for distance, but now I definitely need to use cheaters to read, which I'm not used to doing, but I'm making the necessary adjustments. And thank you all for your kind notes and prayers, and we really appreciate your continued support, some for many, many years, and you know who you are.
And so does God.
Mm-hmm. Now, let us glorify Him for His many blessings.
Abba, Father, we highly esteem your greatness and majesty. We thank you for our numerous blessings, both seen and many unseen. We join all the listeners today who covet your continued presence in our lives and pray that our loved ones will share that joy and enter your soon coming kingdom. Dear Lord, as we watch you work in these final days, may we hold fast to your word and encourage one another even more now as we see the day approaching. For it is our faith that sustains us through thick or thin, because we have read your great book, and now the end of the story that is actually the beginning for those who are called by your name. We lift up to you all those affected by all disasters. May they seek your face for comfort. We pray for our president and our many new leaders. Guide their paths while reflecting humbleness, and may your will be done as it is in heaven. We faithfully pray in your name, Yeshua, our salvation. Amen.
Amen.
First, you wanted to comment on that D.C. sermon?
Oh, yeah. Given at the Episcopal Mainline Church, obviously not having the Holy Spirit, as Revelation 2 so brilliantly describes.
The church at Sardis.
Yeah, I immediately thought about how Jesus did not mince words when he said to the religious scribes and Pharisees that their father was the devil. But we watched Bishop Marianne Buddy, in front of the president, openly approve of sodomy and illegal immigration. Many who are terrorists, drug poisoners, gangbangers, and human trafficking, pedophiles, child kidnapping abusers, which they have already found approximately 80,000 children out of 320,000. But they are laser focused on that.
That Bishop Buddy portrays a Jezebel.
Sadly, she is widely accepted by most on the left, who even hailed her and then welcomed her on their TV programs.
It's a disgrace to real Christians.
And you know what else is a disgrace that happened over the holidays?
Do tell.
Pope Francis conducted an act that flies in the face of the Christian Bible by featuring a nativity scene with the baby Jesus wrapped in a Muslim kafaya, it's like a scarf, thus accepting the false Palestinian narrative that Jesus was a Palestinian and not a Jew.
Well, actions speak volumes.
Oh, indeed they do. Even though we have President Trump, evil is continuing to get worse and worse. You know, the gray is disappearing. Now it's black and white. And you know what? I heard that Lady Gaga, when accepting her Grammy Award, said, "We must all lift up the queer and trans people."
Lift up as in worship?
Good thought. We are so Sodom and Gomorrah. But just like Lot, God will remove the righteous before judgment.
Amen to that.
I know it, for sure.
Okay, time to address Israel, our favorite topic.
In fact, the most important topic for believers. Okay, as we all know, about 18 hostages have been recently released by Hamas, with like 79 more to go. Many of those are deceased. Unfortunately, in exchange, Israel had to release approximately 500 jailed serious terrorists. Certainly not a fair deal for a ceasefire. Many suspect that President Trump, through his new envoy, Steve Witkoff, did lean on Netanyahu just to get a deal done.
Any deal.
Seems so. Some of the far right on Israel's cabinet did not want to make this deal for two reasons. First, Hamas is not totally defeated, and now many of the released terrorists are returning to Gaza. As well, Hamas has had many new, young Palestinians join them since the war began. Hopefully, Bibi's dinner meeting with Trump tonight will be in Israel's favor. And we'll talk more about that next week. But I have some concerns over our envoy, Mr. Witkoff, in that he called those on the far right, on Israel's cabinet, fanatical radicals. And Witkoff does have previous ties with Qatar.
How so?
Well, in August of 23, Witkoff sold his very large hotel in Manhattan for over $600 million to Qatar at a 17% discount. As well, he praised Qatar for doing God's work when they were, along with Iran, the financial lifeline for Hamas, who could not have pulled off October 7th without Qatar's knowledge. So, I question Trump's pick on this one, but Witkoff has some other good points, so we'll see what happens, because Bibi is here all week.
But Trump did make some significant promises to Bibi in return for that quick deal.
Yeah, he did, as in sending those 2,000-pound bombs that Israel already paid for, but Biden had paused.
And others we might never know about.
Mm-hmm. True. But just recently, Trump has asked Congress for a billion-dollar AIDS package for Israel, so that's good. Right now, the IDF has been focusing a lot in the West Bank, where Hamas is also present, along with Islamic Jihad, who I suspect will take over for Hamas in name only.
And then Biden can claim victory over Gaza.
You mean Bibi?
Yeah, Bibi.
Yeah, right. Well, I can't imagine him letting Islamic Jihad take over Gaza either. However, bottom line is we all know the whole prophetic story that there will be no perfect peace till Jesus returns.
But we do expect a pseudo-peace in the meantime.
Yes, possibly within the next few months. Which is why we will be in the book of Daniel for a while, giving much attention to chapter 9. So be sure to read Daniel again and get a fresh overall picture.
Oh, and also Israel will start negotiating on the second phase of the ceasefire.
Yes, and that's to free the remaining hostages, dead or alive, but as well with the release of still more terrorists from Israeli jails.
And what's happening with Lebanon?
Trump extended the ceasefire till the 18th, when hopefully the Lebanese army has properly taken over patrolling their southern area, sending all of Hezbollah to the north of Latani River. So far, that hasn't happened.
Iran will also be a topic when talking with Trump tonight.
For sure. And finally, I know we are all very glad Trump is back. We see his tariff threats are working.
He has already done so much.
Too much to mention, but what I'm most excited about is he will very likely lead us to that fake peace treaty that Daniel 9 says is coming. The good news is, of course, that means we leave just prior to that final signing. So thank you, President Trump, for taking us to the last Trump of 1 Corinthians 15:51.
You know, he sure has the right name for the right time.
Names do mean a lot to God, but seriously, President Trump is doing a lot to push the clock, not just toward Revelation 4, but also Revelation 13.
As in digital cryptocurrency.
Yes, the cashless society. And did you get a check in your spirit when one of those three billionaire investors was explaining the health aspects of using AI? Which is a computer on steroids. Mr. Ellison, chairman of the Oracle Group, explained how AI will be able to pinpoint a person's possibility for cancer and then target those particular cells with, drum roll please, thought that would be moving. Anyway, it's mRNA, what they call vaccines.
You mean what they use for COVID shots?
Yes, that really perked up my ears when I just happened to be listening at that time.
Looks like mRNA is here to stay. Would it really attack the cancer?
Well, that's what they promise. Still, they can sure say it did, making you think it did. They'll do blood tests on everyone using AI, which will tell most people they have those certain cells, actually they're called synthetics, in their blood, which by the way we all have. But if this tiny dot in your blood under a dark field microscope should have a hanging tail, which I have seen myself, suggests they could get cancer. But take this mRNA shot made just for you by AI, and poof, it's all gone.
Yeah, who wouldn't do that?
Well, exactly. But this shot will also inject graphite or something like it that is easily picked up on another AI device that can track you wherever you are. So connect the dots, and don't forget, Revelation 13 happens after we have been gone for 3.5 years. So plenty of time to make the necessary adjustments.
I'm sure we'll be discussing this a lot over the next few months.
You think? But we need not fear, for all these preliminaries just must come first. But the end is not yet.
But it is close.
Extremely.
Okay, we do welcome all of your comments and end-time questions, either by email to Sheila@shofarministries.net or call the office and leave a detailed message to 440-834-9006. And we will call you back. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. And to help us stay on the air, your love offerings are very much needed and certainly appreciated, which will include you in our newsletters. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where you will find our past radio and teaching newsletters archived for your learning pleasure. Well, you know, the book of Daniel is very unique.
As you are, honey. In fact, your mother, a good Christian woman, named you Daniel, which means...
God is my judge.
And the book of Daniel is unique, for not only are his writings historical, but very prophetic, which is what we'll be honing in on over the next few months, especially now that we are currently in the first year of what the very respected Essenes taught to be the final 120th Jubilee years. You might recall that as far back as Genesis 6, Moses said there would only be 120 revolutions of time where God would strive with man, which many have thought it meant years because this Hebrew word shana can mean years and often does. However, since the definition actually means a revolution of time, in this instance, it more likely means 120 jubilees, which would equal 6,000 years from Adam till the day, which is the last 1,000 years of Christ's messianic kingdom, which, by the way, begins for us at the rapture, when we are called up to heaven for 7 years and then return with him to earth as his wife, Revelation 19:7, for the wedding reception, also called the marriage supper.
For the actual wedding happens in heaven.
Yes, but the reception is back at the bride's previous home, which is the Jewish custom and strictly adhered to when Christ was first here. Now, in the next few months, we'll especially pick apart Daniel 9:24-27.
Four very important verses.
Very. That are often overlooked by the casual reader.
You know, Daniel really lays out prophetic history with astounding precision.
Like John's apocalyptic revelation of the New Testament, which prophetically outlines church history, Daniel is an apocalypse of the Old Testament, for it describes Gentile history also in advance.
And John and Daniel are the only prophets in Scripture to carry God's title of beloved.
That is true.
It's a good book for skeptics because it's vindicated by history.
Oh, right. It's just too specific to discredit it. And we also have 20th century archaeological evidence, as in Nebuchadnezzar's palace and banquet hall found in the early 1900s, and then rebuilt in Iraq's Babylon City by Saddam Hussein, who he thought was a reincarnation of Nebuchadnezzar.
Yeah, but not much going on in Babylon today.
So it's certainly not the Babylon of Revelation 18 that at one time, decades ago, scholars thought it could be. But of course, the ultimate authentication of Daniel comes from Yeshua himself.
Yeah, he quotes Daniel 3 times.
And therefore declares him the author and labels him a prophet. As well, Jesus in Matthew 24 admonishes them to read Daniel's writings. So we will.
And be sure and spread the word to others about these programs.
Oh, that would be very nice.
So let's begin with a little overview.
Okay. Chapters 1 and chapters 2 up to verse 3 is written in Hebrew and focuses on Israel. Then chapter 2, verse 4 through chapter 7 was written in Chaldean, which was at that time the Gentile language, which focuses on the Gentile world. Then chapters 8 through 12 goes back to Hebrew and focuses again on Israel. Then we also see that chapters 1 through 6 are more of a narrative history.
And 7 through 12 are mostly Daniel's visions.
Yes, we must also point out that Daniel had a very good environment growing up. He was raised as a child under King Josiah's revival, and we know that to be about 607 B.C. So they did not follow his idolatrous predecessors before. And Josiah reestablishes temple worship and tears down the false gods. So Daniel was a prophet of a spiritual upbringing,
And still today, that means a lot.
As the Bible states, train a child in the way he should go, and he will not depart. Even most of those who rebel eventually come back to their roots.
Amen.
However, after Israel's King Josiah came another decline. And just as Isaiah prophesied would happen in Isaiah 39, God uses Nebuchadnezzar as an instrument of judgment against his people.
So somewhere around the year 604 BC came the Babylonian captivity.
Yes, for 70 years, which also made up for the missed Sabbath rest years of the land, where every 7 years the land was to rest, where no crops were to be planted. So they doubled up in the sixth year so they would have enough to eat for 2 years. However, for 70 years prior to Nebuchadnezzar, they did not do so.
And that was a bad decision.
You think?
Mm-hmm.
But that was not the main reason, only played a factor in how long.
So what's the main theme in chapter 1?
Well, it tells the story of how Daniel came from the Judean royal line and how he and his three young friends were taken captive to Babylon. And we know it was in the first of three sieges that they were given Babylonian names, but showed remarkable faithfulness to God by refusing to eat anything sacrificed to idols or pork.
Or any of the king's delicacies.
It's the first showing of how God blesses and protects those who obey him. It introduces themes of faithfulness, obedience, and God's power that we'll see explored in the rest of the book. But I particularly love this phrase in verse 8.
Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself.
Oh, I just got by that verse because it should make us all think. Do we purpose in our hearts not to defile our bodies?
Or better yet, our souls.
Well said. Anyhow, God brought them into favor with the chief eunuch, and after just 10 days, he was impressed at how good they looked. So they were allowed to remain on their special food of vegetables, and after 3 years training in many manners, were brought to the king. But I want to point out to notice the order. Daniel first purposed in his heart, and then gave them favor.
Amen.
Even still, the chief officer was fearful of Nebuchadnezzar because he's seen him at his finest debauchery. Nebuchadnezzar is known to roast officers over a fire and put out many eyes. And we learn from Jeremiah 39 that Nebuchadnezzar put out the eyes of Zedekiah after killing his sons. Right in front of him.
That was the last thing Zebadiah saw.
Oh, sad. And then he too was taken to Babylon, but was able to return later to Jerusalem under King Cyrus. And Daniel, by the way, was still in Babylon through the first year of King Cyrus.
Scholars think he died there around the age of 86.
So possibly too old to make the trip to Jerusalem with the first group of exiles, and the reason is just not known for sure. And we'll pick this up next time, so please read chapters 1 and 2 this week a couple times.
And more if the Spirit leads you.
That's right, amen. And let us leave you with an important question. Is Yeshua Lord over your life? Luke 21 says you can escape this coming judgment with a simple prayer. Just admit you are a sinner, repent, and invite him into your heart. Then let him have dominance over you instead of the God of this world. Because if Jesus isn't ruling your life, then the devil is. And that is just a fact. There is no in between. And if you call yourself a Christian but you are lukewarm, get your act together now. I want to leave you with the Aaronic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her will prosper. Till next time, shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.